With nearly 5,000 specialists dedicated to supporting dealer financial services, Ally has the expertise to help you with your retail finance, F&I, and remarketing needs. We're all better off with an Ally. Contact your local Ally account executive to get started today. Ally, do it right.
Want to dive deeper into the topics you hear about on Daily Drive? We're offering listeners a special offer, 20% off a one-year Automotive News digital subscription. That gets you access to all of our news, information, and analysis made for automotive industry leaders like you. Go to autonews.com/dailydrivepromo to redeem. Welcome to Daily Drive for Wednesday, April 24th, 2024. I'm Jamie Butters, executive editor of Automotive News in Detroit.
And I'm Kellen Walker in Las Vegas. Today on the show, market watchers were expecting a rough earnings report from Tesla, and that's exactly what they got. Lithia's earnings slide, and Stellantis loses in court, a development that could threaten production. Plus, Alexei Andreev of AutoTech Ventures joins us to talk about the promise of AI in the auto industry.
I think what we are most excited today is applying AI for logistics supply chain visibility and moving goods and individuals on the ground.
Let's run through all the news you need to know to keep up in the auto industry.
Tesla says first quarter net income fell 55% to $1.1 billion, while revenue dropped 9% to $21.3 billion. That says the electric vehicle maker's deliveries slid globally. During Tesla's first quarter earnings call, CEO Elon Musk doubled down on plans to build a robo-taxi service to support the company's future.
I mean, really, the way to think of Tesla is almost entirely in terms of solving autonomy and being able to turn on that autonomy for a gigantic fleet. And I think it might be the biggest asset value appreciation in history when that day happens, when you can do unsupervised full self-driving.
On the call, Musk repeatedly declined to discuss the automaker's future products in detail. He would not say whether Tesla planned to move forward with a low-cost $25,000 vehicle. He said Tesla would provide more information when it reveals a, quote, robo-taxi or cyber cab autonomous vehicle in August.
Lithia's net income fell 28% in the first quarter. The company posted strong revenue but saw expenses rise and gross profit per vehicle fall. Revenue was up 23% to a record $8.6 billion. The group sold almost 85,700 new vehicles, up 26%. Its used vehicle sales were up 31% to more than 102,000, but gross profit per vehicle fell 22% to about $4,300.
A judge in Michigan has rejected an attempt by Stellantis to force a key supplier to keep shipping parts. The decision leaves the automaker more vulnerable to potential plant shutdowns. The order filed Tuesday afternoon means that the parent company of Jeep and Ram brands must continue paying its supplier under protest or risk the supplier halting the shipment of products. That could force the automaker to shut down plants that make transmissions for some of its most important models. Stellantis is litigating against at least three parts makers over pricing disputes. The company rolled out a no more claims policy this year for suppliers seeking inflationary cost relief. That drew the ire of some supplier executives and brought to a head tensions that have festered in recent years between Stellantis and its supply base.
And General Motors awarded CEO Mary Barra compensation worth almost $28 million in 2023. That's almost 4% less than she got the previous year. The drop comes after the automaker's stock price and other long-term metrics fell short of targets. According to an SEC filing, Barra's $2.1 million salary, $14.6 million in stock awards, and $4.9 million in options were unchanged from 2022. And those are today's headlines. Jamie, Tesla with a pretty rough earnings call for the first quarter. Since the company is shifting its focus to autonomy, do you think we'll be getting more rough reports like this for the foreseeable future?
Probably at least one, and maybe more than that. You know, he's talking about showing a robo-taxi, some sort of autonomous vehicle in August. That could be a concept like it was when the Cybertruck was first revealed. Maybe it'll be something closer to production ready, but it's going to take time to get that turned into a business, both to get the vehicles made, but also to get them on the road, to get them permitted to drive without humans. So there's going to be a pretty long road to getting that kind of business ramped up. And yeah, it's, they're facing more competition, maybe not a whole lot more in this second quarter, but it's going to grow throughout the year and the coming years until they figure out a new way to grow Tesla.
Gotcha. Coming up, venture capital investor Alexei Andreev joins the show to talk about the future of AI in the auto industry. That's next on Daily Drive.
For over 100 years, Ally has helped dealers like you serve your customers by providing the best-in-class products and services you need and by remaining true to the automotive passion we share. Your dedicated Ally account executive will work hand-in-hand with you to help you gain efficiencies, increase your product offerings, and work to improve per-vehicle revenue, because we care about your business as much as you do. We're all better off with an Ally. Contact your local Ally account executive to get started today. Ally, do it right.
Welcome back to Daily Drive. I'm Jamie Butters with Kellen Walker. Artificial intelligence is already reshaping the auto industry, from the vehicles themselves to the way retailers sell and finance them. Alexei Andreev is a venture capital investor and managing director of AutoTech Ventures. He joins me now from Silicon Valley to give his view of the future of AI in the industry. Alexei Andreev, welcome back to Daily Drive.
Thank you, Jimmy. Thank you for having me here.
Yeah, it's been a while since we've had you on, and you know, there's been so much talk in the industry and in the zeitgeist about artificial intelligence, and I'm curious how you think about it in the big picture, like economic growth, productivity, the nature of society. How does it compare with some of the other tools like email or mobile phones or the internet?
Jimmy, happy to answer. And actually, I'm kind of trying to put a piece together specifically on this topic, so maybe I preempt a few ideas from this piece. I think artificial intelligence, whether it's narrow artificial intelligence or general artificial intelligence, is pretty much unprecedented in the history of humankind. And the way to think about it is, if you look at Homo sapiens, at people for the last 50,000 years, we went through a number of discoveries or revelations which either increased productivity, and so think about Industrial Revolution, or you just mentioned internet and some information technology solutions, or we went through a number of innovations which increased number of people. So think about Age of Discoveries, the humankind spread from few locations to all over the world, invention of antibiotics. We learn how to live longer and have higher quality of life, or modern medicine is another big innovation. And so if you think about global GDP by the end of the day is how many people work and multiplied by the productivity of all those people, what they can produce per hour. And so historically, if you think about all this, or majority, I think all I can think of, innovations, they either contributed to number of people living on the face of Earth, or they contributed to productivity of individual living on the face of Earth. And I think AI is doing both. And the way to think about AI, at least this is my highly simplistic model, is there are many businesses where you have expert apprentice structure. You have somebody who is really knowledgeable about a particular domain. Mm-hmm. And this knowledge is transferred almost in a tribal fashion to apprentices. And you can think of many jobs and many professions. And so what's happening with AI, on one hand, AI today, and we'll talk about it later, increases productivity of an individual contributor. So I can write faster. I can improve quality of my job. I'm getting new recipes for what I do. On the other hand, your AI agents, they are de facto creating your apprentices, virtual apprentices. And instead of doing all the job on your own, you can delegate parts of your job to somebody else who is helping you and who is doing end-to-day function supporting you. So think about I don't know, smiths with people helping to make metal parts. Or think about, again, painters, where you have a famous painter doing the main faces on the painting, and then support painters in painting guilds drawing the rest of the paintings in Middle Ages to amplify the master. And so the master will do only faces, and everything will be painted by the crew. And so this AI does both. It increases effective headcount. You can recruit, retain very, very advanced apprentices, and the cost of recruiting is pretty much negligible. And so you're driving effective population contributing to GDP by orders and orders and orders of magnitude. And each of them, or you as an individual, you're increasing your productivity too by some additional sizzle. And so I think we're going to see unprecedented impact on our GDP, because it's the first time I can count on one innovation contributes to both virtual headcount of the humankind as well as productivity of each individual member of the society.
Fascinating. Yeah.
How about that? It's a square.
Right.
It's not a linear acceleration, it's a square acceleration.
That sounds really profound. How could that play out in the auto industry? What are some of the applications, maybe some of the obvious or the not so obvious?
We are actively deploying capital in AI domain, but AI, as some people do general AI investments and they invest in AI infrastructure, I think our fund is not set up to do such investments. Mm. We are domain experts. We're not propeller head AI researchers who can drive technology forward and recognize very, very cutting edge AI innovations. So what we try to do, we try to find use cases of AI where the ROI is absolutely clear, and use cases where AI can be deployed today, now, and generate substantial return to the end customers in a short period of time. And so if you think where we're deploying capital today, and I'm sure there are many other domains, I'm just selfishly, we did research in a couple of areas. So one domain is inspection and quality control. Mm. And so how can we improve productivity of assembly lines? How we can make sure we understand the origin of the problems, how we can reduce number of defects and be in control and drop the costs and reduce number of recalls and yada, yada, yada. And so we have several portfolio companies just using very advanced AI agents to reduce number of defects and improve quality of the end product. Then we placed a number of bets, and I think they're still stealth. We haven't announced those deals, but we deployed a number of, we made several deals recently in supply chain visibility and optimization. And so our vision today is that manual data entry, if you think about ERP systems, if you think about transportation management systems, if you think about warehousing management systems, yard management systems, but any IT infrastructure where you're entering data by hands and you open the window and you type the numbers and you type the numbers. What is known in logistics supply chain, a lot of data is unstructured, and people will send PDFs to each other and SMSs to each other and emails to each other, and it's all coming together, and somebody needs to enter it into ERP systems of sorts, and or somebody needs to make decision based on this very, very heterogeneous data feeds. And so today we believe AI, and I'm not saying ChatGPT, but ChatGPT-like entities, they're sufficiently smart to process all those heterogeneous data feeds and make sense of them in real time. And so if you can do it, the step number one, do you really need humans to do boring stuff and just enter the data into the right cells? Mm-hmm. And we have a lot of manual work everyone hates, at least I do. Can we have the agents to collect the information from heterogeneous data feeds and populate ERP system? And then there is a second logical step. if I can populate the data in the ERP system, why do I need the ERP system at all? Because all what the ERP system does, it crunches those numbers and gives you tangible advice on what to do and which cargo should go where and what the terms are and how much you'll get paid and when you need to deliver. And so the question, can you go in the post-ERP world and start with using those AI agents to feed heterogeneous data in existing data systems, but when eventually jump over and say, every time I need an advice, what kind of cargo should be coming from where, or what kind of parts should be coming from which part supplier, this thing will be taking care of it by itself, organizing, scheduling, communicating with all participants of the supply chain, and orchestrating logistics and supply chain without human participation.
That's a fascinating application, because of course it's something the industry struggled with for at least a couple of decades. Maybe before that they didn't think about it so much, but it's really become evident in the last 20 or 30 years how important having better line of sight, better sense of optionality is. But it's mostly been, you know, 60-year-old guys with three-ring binders full of all the people they know. To be able to integrate that into an active self-propelling database. I do want to make sure you're saying ERP. You're talking about enterprise resource planning. Is that?
Yeah. As well as TMS, transportation management systems, WMS, warehousing management systems, yard management systems. Essentially, all the IT solutions touching supply chain, can you go beyond them? Mm-hmm. And do you really need them? We needed them before we had infinite army of AI logistics agents. But if we have an unlimited number of those AI entities trading with each other, why do we need human involvement, and at what level we need human involvement? And can we get rid of boring tasks and push it entirely into this AI fabric? And clearly there are cases for salespeople, and there are clearly customer support cases, but everyone talks about them. I think what we are most excited today is applying AI for logistics supply chain visibility and moving goods and individuals on the ground.
That is very exciting, very big problems being solved. Alexei, I appreciate you joining me and sharing your insights and some of your strategy there. Alexei Andreev is co-founder and managing director of AutoTech Ventures. Thanks again for joining us.
Jimmy, thank you. And everyone who is going to watch us, thank you for being with us. And please send us your business plans. We're an early stage venture capital firm based here in Silicon Valley. And we love entrepreneurs coming with new innovations in ground mobility and transportation domain. Send it to us. We're writing checks. Thank you again. Appreciate it.
Great. Thanks. That's Daily Drive for today. I'm Jamie Butters.
And I'm Kellen Walker. Thanks to Automotive News executive producer Jake Neer, as well as our own Lawrence Iliff, John Hutter, and Nick Bunkley for their reporting for today's podcast. We also had reporting from Kurt Nagel of our sibling publication, Crane's Detroit Business. You can get the latest news on artificial intelligence, earnings results, and everything happening in the auto industry at autonews.com.
Come back tomorrow for the results of Ford's first quarter, which we'll learn about tonight after the market closes. We'd love to hear from you. Let us know what you think of the show and the topics we covered today. Send us an email at dailydrive@autonews.com or leave us a voicemail at 313-444-2774. And if you enjoy the podcast, remember to like, leave a review, and subscribe so you never miss an episode.